Okay, guys. Encourage you to get your Bibles open, Mark chapter 4. Title of the message this morning is Ears to Hear and Eyes to See. So it's kind of a two-part message. So if you're one of those people who's got a chicken in the oven back home or whatever and you're worried about the clock, you'll know once I move from ears to hear to eyes to see that I'm about halfway through, and that'll give you a little bit of indication whether your house is about to burn down or whatever. But this is just too important not to take a look at. Oh, heavens, will I get to take a look at it at all today? Did you have to do that for me, or did it? You did. Ah. Okay, well, hopefully it'll come about for me here. But here we see in Mark chapter 4, Jesus giving us this instruction. Now, he gives us instruction like this on so many occasions is why we need to take a look at this, where he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, if anybody has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, obviously, you want to take him literally here, find out what Jesus is saying. This is an important teaching for people. This is not the Van Gogh school of the Bible where we're wondering, do you actually have ears attached or not, right? Obviously, we do. And the question mark is, are we using them? And that's Jesus' big question mark. I can just empathize with Christ as a teacher going from village to village and actually wondering, is anybody listening? You know? And for all the people who can hear my voice, do I ever get to see any fruit coming from it? Like, is any of it sinking in? And Jesus is saying, if anybody's got ears to hear, let him hear. Just let me look to the next verse if I can get there. Okay, you'll have to do it for me there, boys. Verse 24, when he tells us, consider carefully what you hear. So he's saying, now we look at God's word. And we gotta be careful not to just treat it too lightly, like, well, I don't even know what that means, or that's just such common sense, or whatever else, and we just start flying through stuff. He says, no, no, no. Take a little time with God's word. So we've got a little bit of a lesson here to start this morning on the kind of people we need to be, how we worship, how we read God's word. Consider carefully what you hear. Give it a little bit of a time. And in the Greek, this literally means see it. Like, see what you hear. It's sort of like we would say, you got to be in touch. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, I know about those people. I know about that thing. Well, are you in touch? Do you get what's going on with those people or with that stuff? So this is what he's trying to tell us. We got to get in touch. Now, I wonder if you guys can remember, it would have been 2 weeks now when I last was preaching, and we were going through the parable of the soils. Even if you don't remember that message, I know you guys know that parable, and it's so common to us. And here we see the word is being given out, right? The farmer is scattering the seed. This is the word of God that people need to hear, pay attention to. And we have this example given to us so richly. So many people, God's word hits them, and the devil just comes and can just take it, like a bird taking seed off the ground. They're not hearing very well, are they? And others who are getting it a little bit. I got it a little bit, but then it's gone. So let me just see. Show me the next slide there, please, from Jeremiah. Because this, when we talk about hearing, we're not just talking about you guys listening to me today. We're talking about any time you guys get into God's word. So if you're reading God's word, he's speaking to you. If you're reading the Bible, God's speaking to you. And we need to pay attention how we listen. So there's something about what happens in us, and I want to give you this encouragement right from the get-go. When you go to God's word, here's an instruction about how we go. Because, you know, like I'm so busy, I don't even get into devotion in today. I'm on the run, I got to fly, like I don't even know if I can do it. Jeremiah tells us, and this actually is repeated, I'm only going to give you the one scripture, but it's just repeated several times in the scripture. I just like the way Jeremiah says it, so crisp, okay? He says, you will seek me and you will find me when you come to me at this particular way. When you seek me with all your heart. Right? So it's not just coming to God's word, just hippy skippy and quick and, you know, have a little bit and run. He said, no, be careful how you listen. Be careful what you hear. Analyze it a little bit. Give it some thought. Give God's word space in your life, space in your heart. You need to ruminate on it a little bit. So if you're doing devotions first thing in the morning and off you go to work, bada boom, that's great. But you got to find a way to make sure you're still thinking about it. You're driving to work, you got lots of time. Seek God with all your heart. Be asking him, God, what does that mean for me? When we talk about the parable of the soils, you could ask the Lord, Lord, where am I in that? Which one am I? I think I'm the good soil producing 60 times. Am I really, Lord? Tell me. Speak to me. Give it some time. Think on it. Now, give us the next slide, because Jesus gives us this promise for those who do, those who get into his word. Jesus himself in John chapter 10 is saying this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. This is the life we want, right? Any earnest Christian wants to know, what's God's will for my life? I need God to go before me. I need God behind me cleaning up my mess. I need God with me all the time, everywhere. I need him to lead me. He says, well, he calls, and any true sheep will know his voice. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow because they know his voice. We don't want to be like that soil that just God's word hits me and poof, and it's gone. We want to be those with whom it finds, like Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not superficially and not amongst the weeds. Let it dwell in us richly. Then we will know God's voice, and then he will lead us, and we will be able to follow. This is, I want to tell you about one of my neighbors. This is not a Halloween thing, though it sounds like it. My neighbor goes out on a regular basis and starts shouting out pumpkin, and it's not a Halloween thing. He got an orange cat, and I know his cat's name because I get to hear it on a regular basis. Out there he is shouting out for pumpkin, pumpkin. Oh, yeah, he's lost his cat again. Now, he's not a very good cat, and I can tell you by how often I can hear the neighbor shouting for him, because he doesn't come when he calls him. However, Jesus is saying, we're not to be like that, right? We're not to be like that. We hear his voice. See, he's calling. God's got stuff for you today. He's got stuff for you tomorrow. God's calling. Will we listen, and will we come? That's just up to you. That's just up to you. If you're going to listen, and whether you're going to come. Once you've heard his word, now what? Seems obvious, doesn't it? Once we've heard God's word, now what? We should obey it. Yeah? We should obey it. And what did the parable of the sower teach us that we were just reading in Mark chapter 4? When somebody has the word, what's their job to do with it? Give it out. Scatter it. A person who has heard God's word, who is filled with it, these people start talking about it. They don't even know it often because they're just filled with God's word. And you ask them a question, did you catch the game last night? I don't know, brother, but John 3:16 tells me God loves me so much, I don't care. Everything's good, even if my team lost. Bummer. But if we've got it, we're supposed to share it. If you hear it, you get it, you share it. Now, get back into Mark. Give me verse 21 there, boys. When you get the word, and Jesus had just been talking about the soils, if you've got the word, you scatter it. And then he gives a different little illustration, very simple. He says, look, if you had a lamp, you don't take your lamp and you don't put it under a bowl. You don't put it under a bed. Instead, you put it on its stand. If you've got a lamp, what do you do with it? You don't hide it. You let that light shine. Imagine if you put it under a bowl. Two kinds of bowls you might have in a home in Jesus' day. You might have one of those wicker type things. They make them out of palm fronds and whatever else. You put that bowl on there. Your best bet is that it snuffs that light out, because the light would be like a candle, an oil lamp, right? Your best bet is that it snuffs it out. Your worst problem is if it catches that bowl on fire and burn your house down. Not very good. And you look at this other example that Jesus gives. He's purposefully being ridiculous. Who takes a lamp and puts it under their bed? Like, he's purposely being ridiculous. Obviously not the place. You might say, I went into your house and I thought you didn't decorate the way I would have done it. I wouldn't have put that lamp in that corner. That's what an amateur would have done. I would have put the lamp over in this corner. That's what a smart person would have done. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about ridiculous. You don't take it and put it where you can't be seen. So if you've got the word, you scatter. If you've got the light, you let it shine. Show me the next verse there, boys, because I'll bet it's Matthew 5:16. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine so they can see it. God's in you. If you've heard him, if you're yours, let it shine. That's our job. If we've got ears to hear, get it going. Now, this is a concept that is totally easy to grasp, but somehow it seems hard to implement. I love this image that we do. Well, we do it. I'll show you this other one first. Oh, no. In our church, Christmas time comes, and we have our candlelight service. What a great time that is. And we get everybody standing on the outside. We sit here in the dark, and we got that one candle. And we spread that light, and it goes down the lines. For those of you who have been here, you know it's like a magical moment. It's beautiful. And we see the light spread, and we see it fill the room. Now, this is what Christ is calling for his church. You've got my light. He says, let it fill the room. Let it shine. Easy to understand, not always easy to implement. Let me see the next verse. We're going to go back into Mark chapter 4. Because he goes back into this agricultural theme. Now, this is why I'm trying to help you remember that he had just been talking about the soils, okay? And the farmer that was scattering seeds. Now, again, he goes back into that same theme here in verse 24, and he says, consider careful what you hear. And then he says this is the agricultural part. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And then he says, and even more. What's he talking about measuring? She's going right back into the farmer throwing seeds. So you got your plow, your dirt all plowed up, and you got 6 acres plowed up for garden, and you say to yourself, well, I've got like 6 good seeds here. That ought to fill up 6 acres and just whip it out there, hey? Are you going to fill up that garden with 6 seeds? Nope. To the measure you use, get a handful, right? Get a handful. Get it out there. Make sure she's full. Make sure she's full. The measure you use in scattering and shining your light, God says that's the same measure he's going to put back onto us. So if we take our light and hide it, we're in trouble. Show me Galatians there, boys. This is a common principle. A man reaps what he sows. And those of us who sow sparingly, we will also reap sparingly. So the scripture encourages us, sow generously. You say, I don't know the gospel. I don't have every scripture memorized. I don't know. Yeah, you do. You know a lot. You know more than you probably think. Start sharing it, you'll be surprised. Even Jesus himself says, don't worry. Don't worry on that day when you get that opportunity to share. Just start doing it, and you'll be surprised. God and his Spirit will be with you, and he'll give you what to say. If we pre-plan it, we're bound to muck it up anyway. We got to have willing hearts ready to share. There's a promise. Fellas, show me Matthew 13. It says the same thing to us here. Jesus is saying, whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have is going to be taken from them. Whoever has more is going to be given. He's talking about abundance. What kind of abundance? So if we measure out lots, God's saying it's going to be measured back to you, and he's talking about an abundance. What kind of an abundance is he talking about? The first place a lot of us might go is money. Money's what I needed an abundance of. Money's what I want an abundance of. Money's what's going to make my life good. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. Fellas, you show me John 10:10, please. I love this scripture. I'm not showing you the whole thing here. I'm sorry about that. But when Jesus gives us promise of the abundant life, he says, I've come that you might have life to the abundant. I've come that you might have life to the full. What's he talking about? This measure that he's going to give to us. This blessing that he'll pour out on you if you're a faithful Christian and you walk in his ways. What's the promise? It's not money. But he is talking about an abundance of his Spirit within. And what does that do to a believer? What does that do? For those of you who've been a Christian for a while and you know God's blessing upon your life, what does it do when God's Spirit is rich with you? Amazing, the satisfaction that we have, the peace as he promises, which surpasses all understanding, the fulfillment. Like, I couldn't imagine going through this life if I didn't know I had a real purpose, a purpose for God, a purpose that matters, because Christ has given it to me. God gives us these things, and we get these things in abundance. He says, you'll have this life, you'll have it to the full, peace and blessedness. Sincere worshipers, Jesus even says here, they get more than they deserve. And truly, I can't be the only person here who knows that's true in my own life. I don't have as much blessing always as I would like, but I know so many times that I am blessed beyond what I deserve. God has done good for me, and he's done good for you. He gives us better than we deserve. But Matthew 13, which we just read, also tells us those who don't have, even what they do have, it's going to be taken. We just read a passage from Galatians which says God will not be mocked. He doesn't just pass out his seed to us and expect us to do nothing with us and give us the light and expect us not to let it shine. God won't be mocked. And there's so many people who are like this, right? I just get all the blessing I can from God. Get, gimme, 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 and I don't do anything with it. And then in my hour of need, I just go to God and say, God, I just need you now. I need you to fix this for me. I need you to do for me again. He's not a genie. He won't be mocked. He says, you can't treat me that way. He says, no, I give to you. I give you all this seed. I give you all this light. Don't go living your life like you're hiding it under the bed. Let it shine. Put it out. And there it will be. Okay, so we started with ears to hear. With your ears, be careful how you hear. And when you get God's word, give it space in your life. And then let it out. Ears to hear. Then eyes to see. I picked this up like it was going to do something for me. Let me see. Mark. Okay, thank you, boys. Eyes to see. That day, okay, so we're talking the same day Jesus has been talking about these soils and all these things, and careful how you listen. On the same day, this is what happens to him at the end of the day. When evening came, he says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And they left the crowd behind. He's talking about the Sea of Galilee, right? They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. Next slide, please. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Next one, fellas. He got up, rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down. It was completely calm. He says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? One last slide. They were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this man. Now, as it turns out, so we got a storm on the sea here. We call it the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. It's obviously not a full-sized sea if it's sometimes referred to as a lake. It's about 13 miles long, about 8 miles across at its best. Okay, so it's a good-sized lake, not huge. And some of you might be thinking, I've been on some big lakes. I haven't seen a squall like this. Now, the topography here in the Holy Land, where the Sea of Galilee is set just such so that the storms that come upon this lake can be actually totally terrifying. There's three stratas of water because of its depth, which stir. And it's surrounded by mountains on every side. And when the winds come down, the water gives off a warmth to it. And there's cold winds come down off the mountains. And it creates just conditions for perfect storm. It happens again and again and again on the Sea of Galilee. All kinds of recorded testimony, a fisherman being out there, seasoned fishermen getting caught in squalls that they weren't expecting, and they feel like their life is going to be tossed overboard. Now here they are, they're afraid. Several of Jesus' disciples are fishermen. Half. These are men who were accustomed to the sea. Yet now they're so afraid, they're worried for their life. Verse 38 told us that Jesus was asleep while this was going on. You got to just appreciate a little bit Jesus in his humanness at this moment. We read through the scriptures so fast sometimes. I was trying to impart on you guys about a month ago or so, like two little words that it talked about that Jesus would be healing everybody who would come, but it talked about these huge multitudes Like Jesus had been on a healing blitz that lasted for days, all night long, like for days and days and weeks. People are coming to Jesus. The crowds are insane. This is the kind of work schedule Jesus has. He never goes home. He never gets a rest. He is wiped. You say, the disciples, you can be just like them. Don't you care? Like the storm is going on. Jesus is exhausted. He's exhausted. And he is asleep in the stern. Now, verse 37 tells us that it's a fierce gale that comes upon. In the Greek, it's basically talking about, and the way that Matthew describes it like a seismic event, which can be earthquake, but it can be like a storm as well. Matthew describes it as though it's like hurricane force winds, okay? This is a serious deal. So the sea is in absolute turmoil, and Jesus is going to just calm the storm. And for what purpose? What lesson does Jesus pull out of it? What is he trying to teach them? What does he say to the men as soon as he's finished doing it? Two things he says. First, why are you guys afraid? Why are you afraid? Seems natural to us. Thought we were going to die. That's why we were afraid. The real lesson, he asks, where was your faith? I'm right here. Did you really think I would let you die when this is going on? Where did your faith go? It's a faith lesson. So here he is, Jesus calms the storm. This is not just something to hear, this is something to see. We don't get to see it today unless you can do good in your mind's eye and just imagine as though you were there in the boat with the disciples at the time and you could see what was going on, this incredible event. So much water coming into the boat that the disciples couldn't keep up with getting it out. And just to add to the terror, it's the middle of the night and it's dark. They got a boat that's about big enough for about 20 people in it. And I can just imagine these fellas almost smashing into each other in panic, trying to get water out of the boat. Jesus was calm because he was asleep. Nobody else was calm. Now here's the thing that I think happens to the disciples that happens to us, because we're not going to be on a boat just like this that we can compare to today. The disciples have seen so much in Jesus, and they've seen him come through so many times. And if you were to ask him, right, if we just raised the guy from the dead, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe. But then tomorrow, something different comes along. Can I trust Jesus in this? The disciples have heard so much from Jesus. They've seen so much from Jesus, and they believed. But now today, now I'm in the middle of a tremendous storm, and the sea is raging over me. Even though I've seen Jesus act in incredible ways before, can he help me in this? I've done this in my own life so many times. Sunday morning, and everything's great, and I believe in Jesus. And then on Monday, and I've got some tiny little problem, the water heater in the house quits or some stupid little thing. And it feels like the world's crashing down. Oh, man, now what? It's nothing. Can God help me in that? Yeah. That's what's happening to the disciples. He's always been so amazing. Can he help me here? Can he help you in your next scenario? God will help. You know what is incredible here? I really want you guys to see Jesus today, as every time. Jesus is so perfect. It's just wonderful. It makes me want to worship him. He's so perfect. When Jesus heals somebody, he heals people with a word, and he can heal them instantaneously. When you see a paralytic that's been lying there, and he's been there 15 years, 30 years, it doesn't matter to Jesus. He speaks a word. That guy can get up. He doesn't have to go through therapy to get those muscles working again. He's just healed. So what happens? Jesus calms the storm. He speaks a word. It's hush. He just speaks to the environment. He just says, hush. Be still. We're talking thousands of horsepower of wind that was just raging upon the sea. It didn't ease down. It quit. And if a wind like that is stirring up the waters, if the wind were to go away, the waters would keep rocking for a while. It would take some time. Not when Jesus speaks, no. He says, hush, the waters go perfectly calm. Millions of gallons of water that is raging so much that they think it's going to flip their boat over and they will die. Jesus speaks. This is how perfect he is, how incredible he is, how capable he is. And no matter what comes in your life today, tomorrow, or the next day, Jesus is perfect and he can handle it. Can you guys show me these next two slides out of the Psalms? The psalmist says, you answer us with awesome. Do you guys believe this today? You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. This is our God. God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Show me the next one there, boys. Still in Psalm 65. You're the one who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength. You're the one who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and even the turmoil of all the nations. This is our God. The next one, Psalm 89. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You could read this out of the Psalms long before Jesus was ever born, and you could say that's like allegory. Like this is just a metaphor. Nobody does this. Jesus does this. Jesus does this. And he can do it for us and in our hearts and in our lives. It's not an allegory. This is God Almighty's. Now, the disciples were slow to fully trust. Even though they had seen so much and heard so much, they were slow to fully trust. And this is really common. It happens to you and I. It happened to the psalmist. Show me the next slide there, boys. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Mind, we can sometimes associate with the psalmist so much because their prayers are raw and earnest. We say, that was me. I did that same thing. Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why are you hiding yourself in the times of my trouble? Does it feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? Show me the next one, too, fellas. Also out of Psalm 44. Awake, O Lord. As you could think the psalmist was right there in the boat with him when he wrote this. Awake, Lord. Why are you asleep? Get up. Don't reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and our oppression? The psalmist has felt like this. I'm sure you guys have felt like that. I would like God to come through a little sooner. God's not a genie. He won't be mocked. We can't make him just pop up when we need him. But Jesus did, and he does, everything perfect. Now, I'm really impressed with Jesus when I think about this. The disciples wake him up. It's the middle of the night. He is so exhausted that he can sleep through a raging storm. They wake him up, and Jesus is ready and able immediately to help. When was the last time you were woken up in the middle of the night? And what was the state of your body when that happened? I've had moments in my life where my wife would give me an elbow. She's like, wake up. I heard something. And now it's my job to go and kill the intruder that's in our house, whatever it is. There's been a few times where this scene has replayed itself in our house where I'm walking down the hallway and I got a bat in my hand. And I'm going to kill it, whatever it is, mouse or man, I don't know. But, man, it better be a mouse because I can't even see. I'm walking down the hallway. Like this. Whoa, I'm like a drunken sailor because I can't even hardly get my bearings because I'm not awake. Jesus does everything perfect. He's called upon. And he's ready. The psalmist says, wake up, God, wake up. Rouse yourself. Does he need to be roused? He doesn't. You know what is so, I want to tell you, how awesome our God is, because we're thinking, where are you? Are you asleep at the wheel? What's going on? Do you know that God's already six steps ahead? Do you know that he's already gone so far ahead? He's just waiting on you. He's waiting on you. You're the one who needs to wake up. Wake up and call on me. I'm your guy. I can take care of it. We're the ones who need to wake up and come to God for all that he's worth. Sorry, I got so excited I lost my place. Okay, Jesus calms the storm. All he says is, hush. There's no theatrics in it. It's amazing. No effort. What did the disciples see? This incredible miracle. Now, can we just go to verse 41 there? Verse 41, fellas, will be the next one I guess I need. Yeah, there we go. They're terrified. If I showed you the other verse, in the New King James, it says when the storm was going on, they were afraid. And then when it gets to verse 41 in the New King James, it says they were now very afraid. So what has changed for them that went from the storm is raging so much that they think they're going to die and they're afraid to now the storm is calm and they're very afraid? Or as this translation reads, they're terrified. How come things didn't get better when Jesus calmed the storm? And it's because these disciples saw the raw, incredible power of God that we rarely get to see. They could see it. The storm outside of the boat is one thing, but they have woken up to the reality that the Almighty, all-powerful God of all creation is sitting in the boat with them. And that's what's terrifying. And they're awake to this reality. Oh my goodness, who is this man who is with us? You know what? If God were to show up today, like we just, have you ever had that prayer? Lord Jesus, I wish you were just here. Like if you were just here and I could see you, I could hear you, and I would know what to do and I would follow if you were just here. You know what happens to most people in the scripture when they have an encounter with God? Do you guys know who Manoah is? Anybody? Manoah. He was the father of Samson. God comes and speaks to Manoah's wife and says, you're going to have this child. Manoah says, I missed it. Get that guy back here. He comes. He has an encounter with this angel of the Lord. And Manoah is in a panic. Why? He says, we've seen the Lord. We're going to die. We're going to die. This is what everybody feels like. If they encounter the Lord, their spirit is like they fall to the ground. They're just terrified for their lives. I'm going to die. Because God is so incredible, so awesome, so powerful, so amazing. To be in his presence would just blow your mind. So God is very gentle with us. He's very gracious. He breaks into our life and he's there. But he does not overwhelm us so that we feel like we're near death all the time. Praise God that he would do that for us. But they're afraid when they see this God is right there in the boat. But they're learning more about him. And friends, this is the path we're on too. We're learning more about our God. And he is calling you like he's calling me. Keep on the path with him. Keep yoked with Jesus and keep going and you'll see even more. Show me the next slide, please, there, Felix. 2 Corinthians 3 says, we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed. We're being transformed. We're being changed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Bit by bit, he says, like from glory to glory, we are being transformed. So God doesn't whack us all with one stroke and we're just changed. Throughout your lives, bit by bit, glory to glory, we are being changed. We're being made more like Christ. If he were just to show up, we'd be overwhelmed. We think we know him. You think, I've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. I think I know him. Some people have been a Christian for 6 months and think, I know him. You don't. Not yet. Wow. There's so much. And if you keep on with him, even when you hit those moments where you feel like, well, this is so static. Where is he even? I don't even know where this God is. You keep on with him, he'll grip you and he'll blow you away. And he's awesome. And he'll keep changing you from glory to glory. God will never, I don't think for eternity, he will never lose his ability to blow your mind with how awesome he is and how much he can empower and change. Why would we put our eyes anywhere else? So church, let me tell you this. This is what I think. Jesus gives a promise. He says, I have come that you would have life and that you would have it to the abundance. And we're getting there bit by bit. We're being transformed from glory to glory. But he encourages us in our flesh, we can get stale. So he says to you this, make sure that you got ears that can hear. And make sure that you've got eyes that you can see. So when you get into his word in church, make sure that you're into his word. Get into his word. And when you're into his word, make sure you've got ears that hear and eyes that can see. And give God's word the space in your heart and in your mind that it deserves. And he'll blow you away. And he will change you more and more from glory to glory, bit by bit, into the image of Christ. Church, persevere for the glory of God. I'm going to give us a word of prayer to wrap us up, and I encourage you, give your devotion and worship to the Lord as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we used to sing, our God is an awesome God. We believe it. Lord, we'd like to see more and more of it. I don't want to be on a sea that threatens my life to be able to see it, but we trust, Lord, we know. There's nothing you can't do. And we know your ways are perfect. Lord Jesus, we want more of it. Father, help us. We get caught up in all kinds of things, whatever they are, stumbling blocks and such, that help us, Lord Jesus, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, this week, when we're reading your scripture, would you open our eyes, open our hearts that we might see and know and understand and walk more closely, more near and dear with our God, that you would equip us to have the life abundant, peace and blessedness, and this which you have promised. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.